Hello, world. You're listening to the Cash All Podcast. Technology integrates with every aspect of our lives: computing, entertainment, gaming, education, and much more. Here to discuss all of it is your host, Brandon Peterson. Do you have a kid interested in computers? Buy them a Raspberry Pi computer. It doesn't even matter what the age is. Shoot, if you're interested in computing or want to learn how computers work, experiment around with them, and you don't want to break the expensive family computer, buy yourself a Raspberry Pi computer. They are awesome. When I was young, we had a family computer we got like when I was in the sixth grade. It was an 8386. So like went at 33 megahertz. It had 4 megabytes of RAM. Pretty solid specs for the time, but kind of laughable when we look at it by today's standards. Learning how to use that computer for the first time, how to use Windows. I think it was like Windows 3 point something. Learning how to use Microsoft Word, how to use Microsoft Paint, creating pictures. Learning how to use Print Shop Deluxe. All of that was a lot of fun. It was just unbelievable the things that you could make. It had a CD-ROM that came with it, which was a big deal at the time, and came with some games on discs. Carmen Sandiego, the deluxe edition, was very cool. I think we all can relate to the classic game of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. It came with a 3D role-playing game that was called Ultima Underworld. Very cool game, and if you ever have a chance to play that on a emulator or on a classic console or something, Ultima Underworld was very cool. And also it came with Wing Commander 2, which was a big franchise for space combat games back in the day. Very fun to play with, very fun to learn with. And as time passed, the computer became dated, ran a little bit slower. And I'm not really sure what happened, but one time I was using it, I must have been a freshman or sophomore in high school, and the computer froze, restarted the computer, and I got the old non-system disk or disk error when it booted up, and could not get it to go past that. No way to get it past it, no way to get into Windows, no way to get into a prompt, safe mode, nothing worked. I felt absolutely awful about it. I did the only thing I could do. I wanted to get it fixed before my parents knew it was broke. I had a few friends come over who were also into computers as much as I was at the time and try to fix it. Needless to say, we weren't able to fix it. My parents were furious. From that day on, after the computer was fixed, finally, from reinstalling everything on it, the computer was pretty much for school and work, end of story. To this day, when I try to troubleshoot a computer or a tech issue, whether it be at school, whether it be at home, or whether it be for a friend who needs help, I have a little doubt inside that I'm not going to be able to fix the problem. And I'm also afraid, what if I make this worse? And I feel like that experience did kind of set me back a little bit in my interest in technology and computers a little. Looking back at it today, I mean, I definitely deserve to feel terrible about this technological mishap that I had. My family depended on the use of that computer for work and school, and I rendered that computer inoperable. It was expensive. Shame on me. Shame on me for doing whatever I did that broke it. I obviously shouldn't have done that. But I've thought about, you know, just kind of recently when I had the idea for this episode for the podcast, what would happen if my daughter had the same thing happen to her? Obviously, I wouldn't be happy if the computer didn't work. I would be upset. We have important things that are saved on there. Obviously, we have a ton of things backed up also, so it wouldn't be a huge deal as far as that. But we would lose some data, and you know, we would have a computer that we wouldn't be able to use that we use for work and school for periods of time. But I wouldn't want her to have the same thing, afraid to take risks. I don't want her to be afraid to take risks after a technological mishap like I had. I want her to become a problem solver and to be able to take risks without worry, you know. This is important in life skills, and it is important in a technologically driven world that we live in, where emerging trends are rising out of the immediately outdated devices that we purchase. I think it would have been probably a better learning experience for me if I had to reinstall the operating system from scratch onto that computer, onto that old 386. If I would have had to install all the apps on the computer, recreate the folders where we had files saved, and take the files that I could find from backup disks and put them on the computer where they belonged as best I could. I think that would have been a way for me to go through the natural consequence, but also learn something in the meantime. Bringing us to today, there's no need to worry about these mishaps. Not with the Raspberry Pi. The Raspberry Pi is a small, affordable, single-board computer that's actually created over in the United Kingdom by the Raspberry Pi Foundation. And the processor and memory are all attached permanently on the board. The hard drive is a removable small micro SD card. And so aside from any physical error or any physical damage to the device, any corrupt files or bad OS error or anything else that wouldn't let you get into the computer, you know, so to speak, you can just take out the SD card, re-image the OS onto the SD card, and boom, you're back as good as new. The Raspberry Pi computers can be purchased easily online. I usually purchase my Raspberry Pi computers on Amazon.com, and the prices are crazy low. I mean, I am pretty sure prior to the Raspberry Pi computers, the Commodore 64, I think, was the all-time greatest selling computer because of its price, which at the time I think was maybe like a couple hundred dollars, $500 or something. I don't know. A long time ago. And the Raspberry Pi has outsold it like by a large amount. So it is easily the most sold computer in the history of the world today. Has a variety of models. There's the Raspberry Pi Zero. It's $5. $5, ladies and gentlemen. It's one core, 1 gigahertz speed. So not, you know, nothing that's a power computer or anything like that. It has 512 megabytes of RAM and has wireless versions available also that range anywhere from like $10 to $17. So from $5 to $17, you can get a computer that is light years ahead of the one that probably cost us $1,500 when I was a kid. You can get it for $5 to $17. The Raspberry Pi Zero, the Raspberry Pi Zero wireless, very cool options for something to use. If you want a little bit more power, there is the Raspberry Pi 3B Plus, $35, so still very affordable. It's a 4-core, 1.4 gigahertz, and has 1 gig of RAM. Pretty good alternative. It's a larger, it's probably about like twice the width of the Raspberry Pi Zero, and it has like easier access to plug into the USB ports and those things, but another great option. There's the Raspberry Pi 4B, which ranges anywhere, depending on how much RAM you want it with, anywhere from $35 to $75. 4-core, 1.5 gigahertz, so just a smidgen bit of more computing power. And they have like a 2 gigabyte, a 4 gigabyte, a 6 gigabyte, and an 8 gigabyte option for RAM. So these you can start to be doing some more things with it. All of them, except for the regular Raspberry Pi Zero, have wireless capabilities. There's ways to plug in USB. There's ways to plug in HDMI. There's ways for you to plug into the audio. Some of them have the Ethernet connectivity if you don't want to use the wireless. There's Bluetooth available. All the kind of hookups that you would want to use with this computer to kind of get you started. So you could hook up a mouse, you could hook up your keyboard, hook it up to a monitor or a TV if you wish. Whatever you want to do, there's those options for them when you look at the models available and see like what the features are. You can find what best fits your needs. We've used these here at our house. As a teacher, I have an IT fundamentals class, and we teach hardware, operating systems, networking, and intro to coding, all these kind of things. It's a prerequisite that students take before they can take programming 1 and 2 at the high school I teach at. And so for the operating systems part of it, our machines at school, we have Windows, Windows 10, probably Windows 11 in the near future. But it's important to be able to compare different operating systems so students are able to have some access and practice with the Raspbian operating system, which is a form of Linux that runs on these Raspberry Pi computers. You can put a ton of different operating systems on these, but we use that as an option. So I could say, hey, a lot of computers can use this Linux. It's open source. It's not proprietary like Windows. Pros and cons of proprietary versus open source. Pros and cons of Windows and Linux. And, you know, if you have something that's supported by a business versus a community, we can look at that. We can also image these Raspberry Pi computers. So it's like, hey, here's how you create take the ISO of this operating system, and you're going to put it on here. We're going to install it onto this computer, and then that's going to run all of the programs we have on it. So there's good experience for that for our students also. So we definitely use the Raspberry Pi computers at school. Something bad happens in the grand scheme of things. Hey, maybe we need to just reinstall the operating system on the SD card and reboot it up into the Raspberry Pi computer. Not that huge of a deal. Maybe we have to replace an SD card, or maybe we have to replace a Raspberry Pi computer. In the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal. And eventually over time, just like any technology, it's going to wear out over time anyway. So when you purchase these, you know, eventually you're going to be replacing them. I've seen the Google AIY kit. We actually purchased one from Target in Kearney, Nebraska. And it had the button and you could like use the voice commands to it, and it could help you search on the internet and things like that. I was pretty disappointed with it and the way it's set up. I would not really recommend getting that kit. It was fun for a little bit. My daughter and I had a fun time putting it together and playing around with it, but it's nothing different than what we have, you know, with, you know, your voice activation with your phones and everything, like with Hey Google and things like that. So I wouldn't recommend the AIY Google kit. There are other things. There are other companies that provide like the breadboard and LED lights and all this circuitry that you can plug into your Raspberry Pi computer, because it has GPIO slots on there, little pins. And it comes with a map where you can see what is connected by what. And then you can use Python programming to have your computer access those items, and with whatever you want to use for your input, change the output of these LED lights or change, you know, audio sound, anything with that. So you really have the opportunity with these to experiment with the Internet of Things, you know. Also at home, like, we put together a small two-player arcade system. So the Raspberry Pi went online, found like some arcade controls that actually plug into a USB, and then we got a couple of wooden boxes and made our two little controls with that. And so that's been real fun for us to play with, to kind of have this homemade makeshift arcade system that can plug into a TV or a computer screen with that. So that's been a fun little project. I'm trying to think what else. I found one time when I started kind of getting interested in the technology with the e-paper displays that can basically be shut off and still have that display on the e-paper screen for a long period of time. So I have an e-paper view of a Flyers hockey score display. So when I plug it in, it searches the internet to a site where it looks up hockey scores, or any sports scores, but I have it filtered to search for hockey. And if the Flyers are playing, then it shows the Flyers and who their opponent is. And anytime there's a score that is updated, so anytime it's not equal to 0-0 or whatever the latest variable it was set to, a red light flashes and then the screen refreshes and then it updates the score. So that was kind of a fun little project to do, to something sports related that I enjoy and playing around with it in a different way. And again, now I programmed it with Python. So real easy to do. Another project was that during the COVID lockdowns, and not a whole lot to do, you know, you're kind of running out of ideas. Ordered a Raspberry Pi computer with the small camera, and basically we put together a small script where the camera's hooked up to it. You boot up the Raspberry Pi, anything, it looks at an image, and then if the image is not equal to the previous image, it's going to take a picture and save it into a folder. And so we kind of put some bird seed, and we had a little setup where we tried to take pictures of different birds that came into our yard. A little bit of a computer science experiment during COVID lockdowns for something educational, and also a little nature watching too. Although a larger amount of pictures than I would have liked ended up being a picture of our dog walking in front of the camera, taking a poop or whatever. But we did get to see some pretty cool interaction between birds, you know, going down for the seeds and all that. So you can really, the sky's the limit for this. You can search online. You can go on to YouTube and take a look for project ideas. You can check out like GitHub and see project ideas there for code. A lot of just teamwork, I guess, you know, where people come together with codes on GitHub and collaboratively make things as a community. And it's really cool to see how that works. You can even just go to Google itself and search for Raspberry Pi project ideas. A ton of resources online and a lot of fun to do. And you learn how to build things, how to invent with the Raspberry Pi computer. It's pretty awesome. And if you don't want to do any of that and you just want to have it as an inexpensive small computer for basic productivity with the Raspbian and on that Linux operating system, you get the LibreOffice installed on there, which is like an alternative to Microsoft Office, which is free to use. Some cool programs on there. You can also just learn how to Python program on it. And there's other languages too you can play around with. There's a few games that come on there. Minecraft, there's a Minecraft version on there. Fun to play around with. Or you could just use it to surf the web or do whatever you want to do regularly with a small, lightweight computer. Again, I highly recommend it. If you know someone who's interested in technology and they're interested in computers, and even if they have everything that it's like, what do you get the person who already has everything? You can get them an inexpensive Raspberry Pi computers. I know like there are times where I wish I had another. It's like, man, I really want to build this right now, but I can't because I'm out of Raspberry Pi computers and I just don't want to take the time to order another one. So you can always get someone a Raspberry Pi computer, even for the technology-driven person who has everything. Even if they have a Raspberry Pi computer, they can always use another one. You can find other information and all the resources that you could ever want at raspberrypi.org. There we have it. Go out, try it out, and let me know what you think. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review if you like what you heard. For other content, you can follow me on Twitter @CodePeterson.